It's Your Turn with Dave Mullarkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's Your Turn. Weekdays from 1230 to 2 on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's Your Turn. 724-283-2525. And now, it's Your Turn with Dave Mullarkey.
Well, good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn. It is one scorcher of a day. I don't know whether you've been outside today or not. I'm sure some of you have been inside all morning. God bless you if you have, especially if you're in air conditioning. It is really hot. We've had temperatures a time or two this year, up to 90 degrees. I don't think we've had 3 days in a row with temperatures around 90, and that's just what we're looking at today. In fact, our temperature here in the city of Butler has just jumped another couple of notches, 86 right now, 86, and obviously we're going to have no trouble getting up to around 90 today, and probably tomorrow and probably the next day. No rain today. Could be some showers and thunderstorms tomorrow and into the weekend, but today it's just hot. It's brutal. So I hope if you are able to plan your day, you're able to take care of heavy chores early and then kind of rest easy this afternoon into the evening. As Tracy just noted, this has been declared a Code Orange Day for people with respiratory problems or the very young or the very old. They are most vulnerable to days like this. It can be a real problem. You can get into trouble real fast. If you don't believe me, step out into the yard and stand in the sun for a couple of minutes. Ooh. Hey, but it's middle of July, you know, so that's what we get around here, right? It's Saxonburg Carnival Week. This is the kind of weather we want. Open talk to begin the program today. We're going to talk later with David Cord. Mr. Cord is the director of VA Butler Healthcare. He's the top administrator. We got a lot of stuff to talk about. They have scheduled an open house now for the new A.B. Abraham VA Healthcare Clinic. It's going to be opening, a little over a month? It's around Labor Day, I think. We'll get the final details on that from Director Cord. He'll be with us, around 1 o'clock or so today. And some other stuff, too, including we'll get his thoughts on a bill that was introduced just yesterday by Congressman Mike Kelly, a bill to name the Community Living Center on the current VA campus on Newcastle Road, to name it the Sergeant Joseph George Cusick VA Community Living Center. He was a native of Bruin, died in Vietnam. He was in the Special Forces, paratroops, Special Forces. Wow. Good move, I say, right? We'll see what happens. It passed the House and most likely will pass the Senate, too. And by the way, that Community Living Center, and we'll check again on this with Director Kelly, but that's going to stay where it is right now on what is now the main campus of VA Butler Healthcare. The clinic will be moving to the new location. So we'll run that down for you a little bit later on the program. Also today, and I'm quite anxious to talk with our 1:30 guest today about all of the new direct flights out of Pittsburgh International Airport. Bob Kerlick will join us. He is Vice President for Media Relations for the Allegheny County Airport Authority. And it's my understanding that that's the oversight board for Pittsburgh International. We'll check with Mr. Kerlick about that. But there's a lot of new service that has kicked in over the past month or so out of Pittsburgh International Airport. And I don't know. I don't fly a lot. When I do fly, it is frustrating anymore because you almost always have to make connections. Whereas not all that many years ago, you could fly from Pittsburgh nonstop to many, many places in the U.S. Not anymore. So perhaps this is a sign of things to come, including direct flights to Europe and to Iceland, which have started now. We'll talk about that with Mr. Kerlick later on the program today. Open talk, though, to begin with. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525. Open talk here on this Wednesday. A lot of stuff in the news, in addition to the things that we've just mentioned, including happy news and sad news for Saxonburg over the past week. Tragically, we had to bring up the death of Greg Adams again, police chief who was murdered there. But the guy who was charged with it, is dead. And we know that now for sure. Donald Eugene Webb. It was a big story last week, even as Saxonburg was celebrating its 185th birthday. So it was kind of a happy, sad thing for Saxonburg. Okay, let's get to the phones here. Open talk at 283-2525. Caller, this is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
I didn't exactly call about the Saxonburg thing, but that's certainly, that story about Donald Eugene Webb is certainly bizarre, to say the least.
It is from the very beginning. And first of all, to even talk about this, I have to say straight away, my goodness, sympathies with the his former wife, and they had a young family. This was right before Christmas, for goodness sakes, back in 1980. What a horrible tragedy, almost unimaginable in a town like Saxonburg. You know, the police stop a guy for a traffic ticket, and he's murdered. I mean, it's unbelievable. Every time I drive past that spot, which I do most of the time when I'm driving from Butler to Saxonburg, I think about that.
And the,
it's horrible.
The question remains, why murder the policeman?
Yes.
Why?
Well, from what I've been able to read, and it's certainly been much in the news the past couple of weeks, we know that this guy, this Webb guy, was a career criminal, and he specialized in robbing jewelry stores. And the FBI theorizes, I still can't believe it. I mean, the guy lived in Massachusetts. What would he be doing casing a jewelry store in Saxonburg? I don't know, but they think that's why he was here. And he had some, these are some warrants out against him. He was wanted for something. So that's why, you know, when he was pulled over, you know, he pulls out a gun and murders a guy. I mean, it's just sickening.
Yeah,
but at least we know the guy's dead, and we know who did it. We've solved the mystery of where he was for the past, 40 years, 50 years? So.
Horrible.
Yeah.
Just horrible. But that's not exactly why I called.
Sure. So, go ahead.
I was reading recently about the benefits of volunteerism.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be a new facility for the VA, and I'm sure that they will be needing more volunteers there. I know that there's a lot of people who volunteer at the current VA, and I think that they'll probably have more opportunities for volunteering there. But, there are some people who sit around and twiddle their thumbs and watch TV and think, oh, gee, I don't have anything to do, when they could be out volunteering. And there are so many places and opportunities for people to volunteer. If you belong to a church, there's no doubt that they can use a volunteer for something. I personally volunteer with the St. Vincent de Paul Food Cupboard.
Mm-hmm.
We need help in various areas at the food cupboard. I'm making an appeal out there. If you have some time on your hands, volunteering gives you a real lift, because you see people who need your help, and it's in various different genres. So, look out there, find some place that needs a helping hand, and by all means, volunteer.
I agree. I think one reason that some people do not or hesitate to volunteer is they say, I don't have enough time. There are many, many organizations and causes that only need a little bit of your time. They don't need you every day of the week.
Right. Right. And obviously there are places that could use you every day of the week, and maybe it's only an hour a week or an hour a day or a couple hours a week. So, if you have any time on your hands, there's a lot of organizations out here that can use your help.
I agree with you. It's a good point.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. 283-2525. She is very, very correct. And I know of places that, you know, an hour a week, a couple of hours a month. I know places that can use people to do that. 283-2525 is our number. Plus, you know, you get something out of it, too. There's a good feeling when you volunteer and you know that you're helping. You know that you're making a difference. It's a good feeling. Real good feeling, as a matter of fact. 283-2525 is our number. 283-2525, open talk. By the way, hats off to Congressman Mike Kelly for his resolution to name the Community Living Center at VA Butler Healthcare in memory of the late Sergeant Joseph Cusick, a native of Bruin who was killed in Vietnam War. You know, we're going to be talking with some Vietnam vets coming up over the next few weeks. We have a couple of programs scheduled because, you know, that the traveling wall is coming to Butler. The traveling Vietnam memorial is coming to Butler. So stay tuned. We're just now finalizing the details on that. But there's going to be quite a lot happening here in Butler in connection with that. And we're going to keep you up to date. I will do a couple of programs on that. Okay, back to the people we go. It is open talk at 283-2525. Hi there, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Yes. What is holly golly Christmas? I've been trying to figure it out for 50 years.
You've mentioned a Christmas song that drives me nuts. Burl Ives, Holly Jolly Christmas. I just want to climb the walls when I hear
and you get on a jingle horse. They are like the Republican Party, people that we elect to Congress and this legislature. This is the most disgusting group of people ever to occupy the state house or the Congress of the United States. They do nothing except be nothing, and they sit on their and hope to be reelected to do nothing more. Why do people put up with these people?
Well, I don't know whether I'd go so far as to say they're the, I don't know what your exact phrase was, most worthless, but they certainly have not been able at this point to come through on what they ran on the past several elections. Republicans took control of the House, 6 years ago? The Senate,
yes.
4 years ago, and now the White House, of course. So they control all three branches of the federal government, but they haven't been able to move health care, that's for sure.
Well, the problem is that they are not one organization. When I was a boy, Nelson Rockefeller was a Republican. Scranton was a Republican. They were people who had ideas how to work with the system and do something that would promote something of well-being. In this group, they don't have any idea of what they're doing.
Well, don't you think, though, and just for the sake of discussion, and I enjoy discussing this because I stew about it myself. Don't you think you could make the same argument in some cases about the National Democratic Party, for example?
Well, of course,
there are people,
they're not in office.
Well, but my point was there are people who suggest that the reason that the Democrats lost the White House last year is because they ran the wrong person. They didn't realize the severe enmity that so many people had against Hillary Clinton.
Yes, I said all year long, I wish she had the courage not to run.
I agree.
An excuse to elect people that only fight against themselves. Toomey and Kelly have both promoted foreign trade with, and Kelly especially, with South Korea. Now, Trump just met with the president of South Korea, and he wants to do away with Kelly's triumph, which was a trade agreement with the South Koreans. People voted for both of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And Toomey, too, who who done nothing but tried to get more money in the hands of Wall Street. I don't understand how we can make it. These people are not of the same party.
Well,
I apologize for being angry, but I just come back from doing something, and it's just so annoying to me.
Well, they're the same in name. They're the same party, but obviously there are sharp divisions within the Republican. I'm talking about nationally now, but I would still make the claim that you could find the same thing in the Democrats. For example, on pro-life issues, there are some Democrats who fall strongly on the pro-life side, and there are others who are just as adamant for
I don't
pro-choice.
Know who those pro-life people are that are Democrats, but that's another matter. That is indeed an issue that is mostly personal. It has not. There is nothing the government can do to stop women from making that choice. They've tried for 8,000 years to do that, and to blame women for that is beyond my comprehension. But we're talking here about economic issues, health care, things that the government can do something about, and Republicans cannot come together to do this. I'm not a big fan of the National Democratic Party, or even the local. There is no local Democratic Party, but it's just so frustrating to see these people saying the same thing over and over again, and then they back out without even caring what they're doing statewide. They're raising the taxes, the cost of traveling on the turnpike again. They're doing nothing to make any changes that will help this part of the western part of Pennsylvania. And there's no interest in them doing so.
Well, that turnpike thing is only a matter of time before that explodes. In fact, Eugene DePasquale, the state auditor general, came out with a statement about that again today, because yesterday, as I'm sure you know, the Turnpike Commission gave official approval that, once again, the tolls are going up at the beginning of the new year by 6%. Now, this has been standard procedure, and it will be forever until state lawmakers do something, because this goes all the way back to that ill-fated plan to toll Interstate 80. And that's probably, 15 years ago or something like that?
Well, that was when... that was probably 12, 15 years ago at least. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that was the plan, and then it was shot down by the federal government. But they've saddled the Turnpike Commission with having to pay PennDOT $450 million every year, just right off the top. And it's unsustainable. I mean,
of course it is.
I don't know what the turnpike tolls are now. I don't ride it. I don't drive the turnpike.
I sometimes have to go with my job two stops from Butler Interchange to Monroeville.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
$3.15 one way.
Wow.
That's for two.
Can you imagine if you're driving the whole way across Pennsylvania on the turnpike?
That used to be the cost of driving the whole way across the turnpike. Was it $3 or a penny a mile or something like that when I was a boy?
I have to do something. What it is, I don't know. But this...
We're going to have a legislature that is willing to do something for the western part of the state, or forget about it. We cannot live on taxing thin, as we talked about before. That's not working. It's not... It does nothing for the people. You cannot tax the people who use the drugs and hope that that helps them.
I appreciate your call, my friend.
Well,
thanks.
Thank you. I'm sorry to bother you.
What do you mean? It's no bother. That's what we do here.
Well, thank you. I'm just angry. When I got up this morning, I read all that nonsense.
I can understand that emotion. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you for the time.
Sure. 283-2525. A lot of people are frustrated about... what has happened in Washington. And I don't care where you stand on the health care issue. You could be a staunch Republican, a Trump supporter, or you could be a staunch supporter of the Affordable Care Act, which became known as Obamacare. No matter what side you're on, you have to be frustrated at the fact that No, nobody's won so far. There's no... In fact, that's what I would like to see in Washington. I would like to see some new leaders emerge. I'm tired of looking at Mitch McConnell. I'm tired of looking at Nancy Pelosi. They carry too much baggage. Sometimes their faces appear on the TV screen, and instantly my blood pressure starts to rise. Let's get some new leaders in there, some different leaders who can say, okay, you know, Democrats, you've had your way. You got the Affordable Care Act passed. Republicans, you've had your way, and it's not working. Let's start all over. Can't we talk about this together instead of this polarization where one side does it all? Can't we just try to work together on this? Would the two sides have to give a little? Yes. It's called compromise. It's the way the nation has survived for 250 years. But that's what I'd like to see. I don't, if we keep these same leaders, if we keep looking at Mitch McConnell and Nancy Pelosi, I don't see anything happening. 283-2525 is the number. It's open talk. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Hi, Dave.
Hi.
Hi. I'm listening to all the opinions about government and everything. I wasn't educated locally. Actually, I was educated in other parts of the state and in New England.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think your callers understand that the complexities of the two-party system and the committee system and the seniority system and the passing of bills and the appropriation of money?
I think
and
some
even,
of them.
Even the stuff on C-SPAN, people don't understand why these representatives stand up there and talk for 10 minutes. Do you think your listeners understand that?
Well, I think some are very savvy. I think, obviously, some understand more than others. I think of myself as pretty savvy, but I don't know all the ins and outs by any means.
Right. I don't either. I wonder myself. Do they teach civics in Butler schools? Do they teach problems of democracy? Do they read textbooks? Do they read George Will or Tom Friedman or anybody like that?
I don't know. I had civics when I was in high school. I hope that they still teach it today, but I have no way of knowing. I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Sure. And in terms of reading and watching, I think it's an excellent idea, especially in today's day and age, to read a variety of different viewpoints, you know? If you read George Will, I read him faithfully. He's a very conservative opinion guy. I also read Paul Krugman, who's just the opposite.
Right.
He's
right.
a very liberal syndicated writer. I read them both.
Right.
And, you know, if you're not a reader, if you're watching TV, watch Fox and MSNBC. Don't watch one or the other exclusively, you know?
And on C-SPAN, when you're watching the open talk speeches on the floor of the House, those are mechanics, you know. That's the mechanics of government, and I wonder how many people understand the mechanics.
Well, I must be very honest with you. I am not a C-SPAN watcher. It's simply because you have to prioritize. What do you have time to watch?
Yeah, right.
You know,
yeah, right.
And that's
who has time to watch it.
Yeah, I don't want to characterize it as boring, but I do want to characterize it as taking a long time. You know, just watch
that. Yeah, it is
tedious. Yeah, I can't do that. So,
but that's nuts and bolts, and sometimes our opinions don't get peppered with the nuts and bolts of government.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just think that you ought to be varied enough that, I mean, there are times when I'm watching Fox and I'll just say, oh, I can't take this anymore. This is absurd.
Oh, yeah.
But
right.
I've had the exact same reaction watching some of the people on MSNBC.
Sure.
So,
sure.
You know, please don't believe that somebody's right all the time, because I guarantee you that's not the case.
Yeah, and if you read local papers like David Shipman or some of the people in the Post-Gazette or the Pittsburgh Tribune Review. You know, like Tip O'Neill said, all politics was local, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, and you have to know a little bit, Shipman, as you mentioned, I enjoy him because I know that He was a former ambassador to which country it was. So if it's something that has to do with foreign policy, I kind of like to see what he has to say about it,
sure,
as opposed to somebody else.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, my friend. 283-2525 is our number. I guess we're getting pretty close to the end of our open talk time here today. We will have more, by the way, this week. Speaking of which, let me just check the latest temperature before I do anything else, because it is a real scorcher today. I'm waiting for the update here. It was 86. 88. Wow. 88 here in Butler right now. 1 o'clock in the afternoon. Be careful if you're going to be outside there. It's dangerous hot. Hi, caller. This is Dave. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
In response to your last caller, David, no, they no longer teach civics or problems of democracy or even history as such.
Wow.
It's all taught under the one heading of social studies.
Hmm.
And so, really, our young people do not have a good basis of civics anymore.
Hmm.
And it is too bad.
Now, when you were in school, I did not have problems of democracy. I can remember that my mom had that, and I think probably that was just a term that went out of favor. You know, I mean, that was civics, really, right?
Yes.
Problems of democracy, kind of a cumbersome title. I did have civics. I had a course that was split. It was a year-long course, and this was in addition to history now. Half of the course was entitled civics. That was the first semester, and that covered federal government, all sorts of, Supreme Court, House, Senate, and all that kind of jazz. And also the state government, the various courts and so on and so forth. And, I mean, it was a rigorous. I can remember that course. I can remember the teacher we had. It was rigorous. And then the other half of the second semester was strictly Pennsylvania history. And it's the only time I ever ran across that course. I mean, this was an addition to U.S. history. It was strictly Pennsylvania, and it was very detailed. And I loved that year. I thought it was a fascinating year. I'm sad to hear they don't do that anymore.
Well, the Pennsylvania history was required at one time in the high school curriculum. And the Problems of Democracy course in Butler was taught by a very beloved teacher, George Bernmore.
I know the name. Didn't he go on to be involved with the community college, too?
Yeah, well, and his son was also active in
maybe that's
things
where I,
like that.
Maybe that's where I know the name.
Hmm. And but, yes, it's too bad that our young people don't have a better knowledge of that now.
Yeah. Hey, Liz, appreciate the call. Thanks for the update. Bye-bye. 283-2525, last caller here. Caller, you're going to have the last word on Open Talk today. Go right ahead. It's your turn.
Well, Mike, Jack Cohen, how are you?
Jack, yes, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good. Are we scheduled to talk today?
We are, sir.
I don't have that on my calendar. I'll have to check that with my producer, Jack.
Okay. Well, they had it on my calendar. Okay.
Okay. Thanks.
All right. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Not quite sure. Maybe you can check that for me, Pat, while we're into our next segment. And we're going to be chatting with Butler VA Healthcare Director David Cord. He's with us on the next portion of the program today. And then on the final segment, Bob Kerlick, the Vice President for Media Relations of the Allegheny County Airport Authority, will be with us. We're going to get the update on all these new flights, direct flights out of Pittsburgh to faraway places. Europe, Iceland, what's the deal on this? Pretty good, actually. Okay, we take a break and back to talk more here on the Wednesday edition of It's Your Turn on WISR. We will be back in just a couple of minutes.
I can't remember the last time I went to the dentist. Now I'm too embarrassed to go because my teeth are in such bad condition.
Unfortunately, this person is not alone. Many folks put off going to the dentist because they fear being scolded for neglecting their teeth. This is Dr. Bob Todd with a special message. Dentistry today is faster, easier, and better than ever before. At our dental office, we don't believe in making you feel guilty, no matter how long it has been since you've seen a dentist. We know fear and embarrassment can cause a cycle of procrastination. If it has been years since you've been to the dentist, call us today. We will help put your mind at ease and bring your smile back to health.
If you hate going to the dentist but know you have a dental problem, help is only a phone call away. Dr. Bob Todd and his friendly dental team will answer all your questions and care for all your concerns. For complimentary information or to schedule an appointment at their Butler office on Evan City Road, please call 282-7774 or on the web at butlersmiles.com.
Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way, getting there stops here. Just hop the bus, easy and economical. Just hop the bus, no car, no problem, the bus will get you there. Cause that's what we do. Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us.
The bus.
We're going your way.
Welcome back, friends. And as we've been telling you for the past couple of days, our first guest here on the program today is Mr. David Cord. Director Cord, the top administrator at VA Butler Healthcare, the director there. Director, good to see you. Nice to have you back with us.
Thanks for having me back.
Yeah, nice to have you. We are getting awfully close to the grand opening of the new healthcare center. Wow. Pretty thrilling, huh?
It is. It's exciting, a little bit nerve-wracking.
We've been talking about this for a couple of years, and we're a little over a month away now, aren't we?
About 6 weeks. September 5th is when we will be seeing the first patients in the new healthcare center. August 29th, the week before, is the ribbon cutting event. And then Saturday, September 9th, right after the first week we're in operation, we're going to host our annual welcome home event and an open house at the new facility for everybody in the community to come out and see.
Wonderful. So opening day, the first time there'll be patients there being treated, that's exactly the day after Labor Day, right?
Exactly.
Tuesday, September 5th.
Yes, it is. We built ourselves that extra day in that weekend for some last-minute things that I'm sure will pop up.
It's a good idea. I'm guessing, obviously, there's a lot of equipment and stuff has been moved in there already. We're only 6 weeks away from opening. Have any of your employees shifted over there yet to start what in the Navy, I guess, would be a shakedown cruise? I don't know what you call it at a VA medical center.
We haven't shifted anybody over there per se at this point. We have different groups, different program areas who have been going over throughout the summer and will continue to go over to familiarize themselves with their workspace. We've got our IT staff, our telecommunications staff. They've been pulling double duty in essence and working over there as well too to get all the computers, phones, everything good to go and ready to run so that in essence we can continue with clinics right through the Friday before Labor Day weekend and have everything operational in the current building, and then everybody can show up Tuesday at the new building and have all of their equipment ready to go there.
You know, I really hadn't thought about how complicated that would be. Internet technology and so much of medicine nowadays is done through digital means of one way or another, including medical records. Folks, you know what it is if you get a new computer. What a chore that is to get everything hooked up. I just got a new printer not too long ago. You don't need wires anymore, but you still have to rig all the routers and everything to get it to work. Can you imagine starting from scratch in a whole new hospital? You got a million things to hook up, huh?
And multiply that by 500 users over in the new facility who all will have new computer equipment, new printers, new phones, new telecom, everything. So it's I really appreciate the work that staff has been doing getting everything ready over at the new facility, because our you're right. Everything we do runs off of the computers, to include a lot of the equipment that we use. People don't think about that, but our imaging equipment, a lot of our pharmacy equipment, equipment in optometry, ophthalmology, a lot of those machines, a lot of the equipment that those providers use is tied into computers as well, too. So all that has to be programmed and ready to go by day one as well.
Do you have on-staff IT people who can do that, or does the Veterans Administration bring in a team to help you with a job like this?
No, we have our own staff. Actually, the way our system is set up, our information technology department is really grouped more nationally and regionally. So it's not that they necessarily work directly for VA Butler Healthcare, but we're part of a region that they service to include Pittsburgh and some of the other facilities. The nice thing about that is they've been able to tap into some additional support for a project of this scope, because this is a little larger than the typical work that they're doing on any given day or week. So they've been able to, you know, marshal some additional resources throughout the summer to help get everything ready to go.
Mm-hmm. And there's a, I don't remember the name of this program. I know it's relatively new, like within the past year, where our facility here in Butler, VA Butler Healthcare, is a telephone headquarters for people that are calling in from other VA facilities all over the several states, right?
Absolutely. We actually,
you know what I'm talking about.
We run, it's a nurse call center that
yes,
we run.
That's what it is.
And it's staffed with RNs, and we actually serve all 9 facilities that are in our VISN, which is comprised of 8 facilities in Pennsylvania, including ourselves, and then the Wilmington, Delaware VA as well, too. So our nurses actually take calls every day from all 9 of those facilities. They average over 1,000 calls a day.
Is that 24 hours, by the way?
No, right now it is a, so it's a program right now that we manage for our network Monday through Friday, basically 7 to 4:30, 7 to 5. During the off hours, those calls are handled through a larger regional call center that's run out of the Bronx, New York. However, we are looking at taking the call center that we have for our network and eventually expanding that service for our entire network to cover 24/7.
I'm assuming that call center will be in the new facility whenever it opens?
Yes, it will. They've got space up on the second floor of the new facility that's all outfitted and ready to go. But again, that's just a lot of, because their entire workday is spent on the phone and on the computer helping troubleshoot issues with veterans, and in a lot of cases, you know, being able to provide service through the phone and keep the veteran from needing to make a trip into the facility.
I want to ask you about one thing before I forget, because it's new to our list of topics today. We just got the story this morning, as a matter of fact, that Congressman Mike Kelly of Butler introduced a resolution in Congress yesterday, was unanimously passed by the U.S. House, to name the Community Living Center, which is on the, what's now the main campus of VA Butler Healthcare on Newcastle Road, to name it after a local veteran who was killed in Vietnam, Sergeant Joseph George Cusick from Bruin. He was in the Special Forces Airborne and died when his helicopter was shot down during the Vietnam War. So Congressman Kelly's resolution would designate the Community Living Center as the Sergeant Joseph George Cusick VA Community Living Center. I assume you're familiar with this before it was introduced and approved in the House yesterday?
Yes, we've had discussions with the Congressman's staff and supported this going forward. Once again, Congressman Kelly was, you know, very successful in helping to move legislation forward to recognize another American hero who gave his life for this country, and an opportunity for us to name our community living center in his honor.
See, I think these are very important. By the way, the it's a little bit parenthetical, but not really. The traveling Vietnam Wall is coming to Butler.
Yes, it is.
This fall. So we're going to be doing a couple of programs on that. We'll have all the details on that for you. But I was not aware that there was a airborne special forces guy from Bruin who died in Vietnam, and I'm my hometown is up in that area, and I find it sad that I didn't know about him, and that's why I think this kind of stuff is great, because now we should know about him. His name should be celebrated.
Absolutely, and this is a opportunity for us to recognize him in a permanent way in our facility. And I think the residents who live in our community living center, when we do something like this, it's very important to them as well too. I mean, that's their home, and for us to honor one of their brothers in this way, I think means a lot to them as well as the staff.
The Community Living Center, many of you listeners will be familiar with this space. Some will not. As I mentioned, it's on the current main campus of VA Patra Healthcare, and it will stay there. It's one of the newer complexes. And when the clinic moves over to Duffy Road, the Community Living Center will stay there where it is.
That's correct. That's our that's our nursing home. Community Living Center is our term for our nursing home. It's a 60-bed residential facility, and it will stay on the campus. We do long-term residential stays there for veterans who need nursing home care. We do some short-term rehabilitative stays there, and we also have a hospice and palliative care unit for end-of-life care there as well.
Some people may have watched that being built over the past several years, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago. Is that the complex that's down closer to Newcastle and Duffy Roads,
that's,
like across from the Target store?
That's exactly it.
Okay,
it's on that part.
And that end of the campus.
It's two sections to that, 30 beds in each section. Beautiful facility. It's all private rooms for the veterans who are there. It's you walk in there today, it looks like it was just opened yesterday. I mean, it's that well maintained. The staff over there are just some of the most dedicated people doing that kind of work. I go over there and you just watch the staff, and they treat these veterans like they're treating their parents. It's pretty amazing.
Well, it is brand new compared to the main building, which was built in the 1930s. But we won't be using that too much longer, right? At least not for its current purpose.
We will not. We will be out of there in a few weeks at this point. And, you know, our new secretary, Shulkin, has one of the initiatives that he's moving forward on is to actually try to dispose of all of the vacant buildings and property that the VA has ownership of presently, and there are hundreds of buildings across the country. And I think, you know, what may not be completely understood is there's still a cost involved in maintaining even an empty building. And it's, that's money that could go towards veteran care. And so I was very pleased that the secretary has made this an initiative. And you know, he's stated that his goal over the next couple years is to dispose of all these properties. So, you know, we've been working very diligently at looking at other potential uses for building one in the future. I'm hopeful that that's what will occur for that building. It's beautiful building. I would like to see it reused, find a purpose for it, and I think that would be great for the community if that occurred as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there are hundreds of VA facilities across the country. Some people may not realize just how large the Veterans Administration is. Lots and lots of places. You mentioned that you're having a welcome home event coming up right as you're about to open up and then have the open house. What's the Welcome Home event, Director Court?
So the Welcome Home is an annual event that we have that is an opportunity to really invite in veterans, particularly the younger veterans from, you know, Operation Enduring Freedom, Operation Iraqi Freedom. So those veterans who, have been deployed over the years and have not availed themselves of enrolling in our services. So this is an opportunity to welcome them home and welcome them into our organization, give them an opportunity to see what services we provide for their health care. Really, the event's open to all veterans, and in this case, since we're going to do this as an open house for the new facility, it's open to the community. We want people to come tour the facility. We'll have guided tours that day. We want veterans who haven't enrolled in our services at this point to please come there, come with your family, see what it is we have to offer for you. We will have people there to enroll veterans that day on the spot, and we will also be able to schedule veterans for their first appointment that day as well, too.
And that is Saturday, September 9th.
That is right? Correct.
Which is the first Saturday after the new healthcare clinic opens, the AB Abraham VA Healthcare Clinic. Healthcare Center?
Healthcare Center.
Center. Forgive me, there's a lot of new terminology that I've got to kind of imprint on my brain here.
Us also, trust me.
We wanted to talk about something also called Veterans Choice. And I need you to give me a thumbnail sketch of just what that is. What's that all about?
So the Choice Program, which has been in place now for a few years, is a program that was legislatively mandated that allows for veterans to get their care in the community, originally driven by the notion that if the VA couldn't provide that care, and in many cases this is specialized care, that if we couldn't provide it within 30 days or within 40 miles of where the veteran lived to the closest VA facility, that the veteran could get that care in the community and the VA would pay for that care. That's grown over the years, and there have been some challenges with the program. We've worked very diligently with the veterans in coordinating that care. The key to the success of this program is to coordinate the care for the veterans within our system and then what we need to send them into the community for. Mm-hmm. So moving forward, Secretary Shulkin has embraced the notion that veterans should have as much choice as possible in getting their care where they want their care, where they need their care, and when they need their care, and I wholeheartedly support that. I think that we have an outstanding organization and provide top-notch clinical care, and I think we have good partners here in the community, such as Butler Health System, that we work with pretty regularly to coordinate some specialized care. So the Choice Program is just that. It encompasses this notion that we coordinate care for veterans when we need to have that care provided in the community. I think that's going to continue to be a growing entity for the VA moving forward. You know, we serve over 7 million veterans right now in our system nationally, and that number is growing. So, you know, obviously we need to work with the community providers as well to make sure that when the veteran needs a particular procedure or a particular test and it's something that we can't do locally and we can't easily get them to Pittsburgh or we can't get them there as quickly as it needs to be done, that we have our community partners as well.
Mm-hmm. And this is not every specialty need. I mean, Director Cord mentioned earlier one of the complex operations they've got to get up and running at the new center is ophthalmology. So you have ophthalmology services there, but it might be something extremely particular about an eye procedure that would have to be done somewhere else.
Exactly. Or, for example, we work with Butler Health System through Benbrook on scopes.
Oh, okay.
Colonoscopies, mm-hmm. for example. So mm-hmm. if we can't, if the VA Pittsburgh doesn't have an appointment available within a particular time frame, or given the clinical circumstances for that veteran, it just doesn't make clinical sense for that veteran to have to travel down to Pittsburgh for that particular procedure, then we work with Benbrook, and we have many of our veterans each year who will get their scopes done there.
Did you know about this, listeners? You veterans, or maybe there are people listening who have veterans in your family, you might want to check out. Things have been changing at the Veterans Administration. There are a lot more services and benefits that are available now. You might want to check that out. You know, make sure you're enrolled or your veteran is enrolled with the VA. It seems, as long as I can remember, that there's always been a budget battle, making sure that the Veterans Administration has the money that they need to what I like to term fulfill the promise made to veterans. This is, I don't look at this so much as a benefit that we're giving them. I look at it as something that they have earned, a promise made, and that they have earned. But are we okay on that? Is that ongoing? it's very difficult to follow the federal budget process because for many, many years they never really finalize it. You know, it's supposed to be done by, let's see, the federal budget kicks in October 1st, I believe.
That's correct.
But they never have it done by the end of September, so they end up passing these supplemental bills, and it keeps the federal government going for 2 months or 3 weeks or whatever it is. And I suppose from what I know, from the standpoint of the Veterans Administration, it makes it kind of tough, doesn't it, to plan your financial situation?
It does. We're pretty fortunate in the department that we will usually have our appropriation in place, even in years where there might be a continuing resolution. I think, also have been very fortunate as a department that we've had good budgets to work with over the years. It's, you know, it's always a lot of work, and I've got a great fiscal staff that works very, very diligently all year long to make sure that we can, you know, stay on budget. But Butler has been very fortunate that we've had good budgets to work with. We've been able to enhance staffing where we've needed to, enhance services where we've needed to. You know, the nurse call center we talked about earlier is a great example of that. Mm-hmm. We added 24 new positions to the facility that were possible because of the budget that existed at our network level. So,
and these, by the way, are highly trained nurses, right?
Oh, yes.
These are special.
Yes.
A plus.
it's quite a different type of nursing to be doing everything over the phone mm-hmm. with a patient and dealing in that type of a setting and being able to resolve a lot of those issues and save the veteran from coming in for an appointment. So, you know, we have been well positioned with our budget. We're also very diligent in how we handle our budget, and I think that we do a very strong job of allocating our resources. You know, again, one of the things that the secretary wanted to ensure all of the facilities are looking at, making sure that their money is going to where our core businesses are. You know, primary care, mental health, geriatric care, spinal cord injury care, those types of things that we really are putting our budget money to the best use possible. And I think Butler already has a long history of doing exactly that.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of staff, and I realize that there are still some variables here. For example, we don't know just exactly what's going to happen to Building 1, the main building on the now main campus. Will it be repurposed? We're not sure. We don't know yet. But from the information that we do have right now, has staffing remained pretty much the same? Moving to the new facility, have you had to add additional staff? Will you cut staff going to the new healthcare center? What's the deal on that?
So first, nobody's lost their job as a result of this. We have had to make some adjustments in both directions. For example, now that we have a presence on both campuses, we needed a police presence at both locations. So we've actually added probably about 9 police officers over the past 6 to 9 months in anticipation of having a presence in both locations. As we vacate Building 1, we will need less housekeeping staff, facility staff, for example, but we've been planning for that over the course of this construction. So, you know, through attrition, we are in certain cases looking at where the staffing is going to be for that, and we may not backfill certain positions knowing that Building 1 is going to be vacant here in another month and a half. So we'll continue to tweak those things as we move and as we see what all is continued to be needed on the current campus. The new campus, I think we're pretty well situated with what we need there. You know, a lot of it is just the current staff moving from Building 1 over and some of the other buildings. Like I said, we had to augment a few things. But, you know, overall, the total number of staff we have is going to actually remain pretty consistent after the move.
How are we doing with veteran access to health care here locally? We've touched on this previous times that we've gotten together, because there have been stories in other parts of the country where this has been a significant problem, but it really hasn't been here, has it?
No, we do a phenomenal job with that. We actually have same-day access available in primary care and mental health. So, you know, I'll give you a great example. We had a veteran show up yesterday who had injured his foot. they didn't have an appointment, and had heard it over the weekend, I believe, and came in, and we saw him and took care of him yesterday. Same for mental health. If we have a veteran who's got an issue and they're in crisis, they come in, we're going to see them and take care of them. So we really, you know, we schedule appointments for when the veterans need their appointments, but we also have the availability if a veteran walks in and needs help or calls into the nurse call center and needs help, we take care of them same day.
We had a call early, actually on today's program, from a caller during the first portion of our program before we were scheduled to talk with you, who kind of wondered out loud. We are aware that there have been people who have volunteered, some of them hundreds and hundreds of hours at VA Butler Healthcare. Will there still be a need for volunteers with the new center opening? Will there be a need for more volunteers?
Yes. We always have a need. Our volunteers are so instrumental in the work that we do, particularly with our community living center residents. So a lot of the activities that we do there with those residents are driven by the volunteers that we have. Also in our domiciliary program, which is our residential rehabilitation treatment program, we've got 56 residents over there. We use volunteers to help there as well. We're going to need volunteers in the new healthcare center that are going to help with greeting veterans, helping veterans find their way to where they're going, particularly early on as it's a new building. So I'm always encouraging individuals that if you if you've got some time to volunteer, please come down and see us. Whether it's a few hours a week, few hours a month, whatever you can spare, we can always use the help.
Our time begins to run short. Sometimes it's difficult. We get so tied up in what has to be done today or this week, and it's difficult to step back and say, well, let's just take an overall look here. But, you know, when I step back and look at VA Butler Healthcare here locally, I think of where we've come in the past 5 years. I mean, there was some question, a significant question not that many years ago, whether there was still going to be a VA presence in Butler. You know, we'd had what used to be known as a VA hospital, now VA Healthcare in Butler since the early 1940s. But it was an ancient building, and are we still going to have a VA Healthcare facility? Well, not only have we answered that question for the short term, but with a brand new hospital now, we've answered it for the long term. And by gosh, maybe we should just step back and forget about all the details for a couple of minutes and say, we're blessed here, aren't we?
I couldn't agree more. I think that this new healthcare center speaks volumes for the investment in Butler that the department has made. They would not have invested the money that they did to give us this new facility if that wasn't the case. And the other thing that, you know, I was talking to staff about this yesterday, a place like Butler is very, very well positioned for the secretary's priorities for the department moving forward. He wants us to focus on the core businesses of primary care, mental health, and geriatrics care. And those are the three main tenets of care that we provide at Butler. So I think we are exactly the type of facility and the focus of a facility that this department has moving forward.
Well, now all we need is that extra exit off of 422. We're working on PennDOT with that. I'm just kidding. Director David Cord, he is the director of VA Butler Healthcare, visiting with us, and wonderful to get an update here as we draw nigh to the opening of the new A.B. Abraham VA Healthcare Center on Duffy Road. It's just a few weeks down the road now. Good to see you, Director Cord.
Good to have me back. Thank you. And I got to throw out two quick birthday wishes.
Oh, please.
You've met both people. My chief of staff, Dr. Mao, her birthday is today. And my associate director, Becky Hupshire, her birthday is August 1st. I'm pretty sure I've got that date right.
I have met both of them. They've both been in chatting with us within the past several months.
Yes, they have.
Yeah. Well, good to see you again.
Thanks for having me. Thanks.
More to come. We take a break. We're going to be talking about, you know, all of a sudden, really within the past few months, we're getting more and more direct flights out of Pittsburgh International Airport. Now, I don't fly a lot. I fly some, but this is really nice. We now have more direct flights to other cities. We have more direct flights to Europe. Could even fly to Iceland now. That started within the past few weeks. We're going to talk about all this new development with the Bob Kerlick, who's the Vice President of Media Relations for the Allegheny County Airport Authority. He's going to be joining us next here on It's Your Turn on WISR, so stick around. We'll be back to talk about that in just a couple of minutes. Be right back. Are you looking for a new pharmacy after hearing news of Kmart closing? Celebrating 10 years of pharmacy care to the Butler community, locally owned Institute Hill Pharmacy can fill your prescriptions in just 10 minutes. We take all major insurance plans, stock a variety of over-the-counter medications, and pride ourselves on fast, friendly customer service. And we are excited to offer a $5 off coupon for any transferred prescription from Kmart customers. Some restrictions apply.
Check out Institute Hill Pharmacy on Facebook or stop by their location on East Jefferson Street.
Institute Hill Pharmacy. An old-fashioned pharmacy just the way you remember.
Attention all Central Electric Cooperative members. This is a peak alert announcement. We anticipate a peak demand today between now and 6 p.m. Please conserve power by turning off all non-essential electric items.
The Young Funeral Home of Butler invites you to stop by their Jefferson Street location, downtown Butler, to talk about pre-arrangements. Not the easiest thing to do, but necessary, and the Young family will walk you through the process, making it very comfortable and really easy to take care of. You'll experience peace of mind knowing that your wishes and plans will be carried out to the last detail. Call the Young Funeral Home in Butler today to make an appointment with a member of the Young family. Generations of the Young family have been caring for generations of Butler families for well over 40 years. The Young Funeral Home, West Jefferson Street in Butler. Hey folks, have you heard about Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center? Yeah, they're located just off Newcastle Road, Shockey Lane, right behind King's and Villa Grande. Going Postal Butler. They package your items for shipping. And that takes care of a situation that sometimes can be a real bother. You know, you got to get the wrapping paper, the string, the tape, whatever you need. They'll do it for you. And you can ship any way you want to, FedEx, UPS, U.S. Postal Service. They will package your items for shipping at Going Postal Butler. Other services they offer, copying, scanning, faxing, mailbox rentals, custom boxes. They have an official notary, also greeting cards, even a lottery agent. Going Postal Butler, 140 Shockey Lane. That's just off Newcastle Road, right behind King's and Villa Grande restaurants. It's in the Shockey Mini Storage area. For more information, give them a call, 724-841-0044. Going Postal Butler, your friendly neighborhood shipping center. Welcome back, folks. Nice to chat. What a wonderful chat with the director of VA Butler Healthcare, David Cord, on the last segment. We are just weeks away now from the opening of the new VA Healthcare Center here in Butler. Good stuff. There's other good stuff happening for people who fly, particularly looking for more direct flights out of Pittsburgh International. All of a sudden, we've got more and more of them. We're going to talk about that with our next guest. He is Bob Kerlick. Bob is the Vice President for Media Relations with the Allegheny County Airport Authority, and he's been nice enough to make some time to chat with us on the phone. Bob Kerlick, nice to meet you. Nice to have you with us here.
No problem. Thank you for having me. I'm excited to talk about all the new service that we've started here in the last couple of years.
Oh, it is exciting. One thing I wanted to make sure that I'm clear on and that our listeners are clear on. Now, you're Vice President of Media Relations for the Allegheny County Airport Authority. That is the authority that controls Pittsburgh International, too, right?
That is correct.
Okay, because it might be some people confused. They know there's an Allegheny County Airport.
Sure. Well, that's right, the Airport Authority, so we control both airports, of course, Pittsburgh International, but also for some people who might remember Allegheny County Airport, which is a smaller general aviation airport in West Mifflin, Allegheny County.
Some of us even remember when it was Greater Pitt.
Greater Pitt was separate now, remember. Greater Pitt was built in the 50s, and County Airport was still called Allegheny County Airport, but that was the airport for the region when people flew out of there up until 1952.
Yeah, I realized that it was the main airport, but it used to be known as Greater Pitt, and a lot of people still accidentally refer to it that way.
Sure.
By the way, do you happen to know off the top of your head when what we still refer to as the new airport opened with the landside and the airside terminals. How long ago was that now?
Sure. So actually, that opened in 1992. So people—it's funny because people still refer to it as the new airport, right? But of course, it's not new. We will be 25 years old this year, and frankly, we're taking a look at the long-term future of the facilities here. You know, systems are getting older. A lot of them are coming to the end of their useful life. We have a lot of space that, frankly, we're too big for the service needs of today, and the technology is aging. So we're looking at, you know, what if any changes need to be made to this building, and as we move forward. So, yeah, stay tuned for that as well.
Well, the exciting news, and really all of this has happened actually within the past few months, more and more direct service to various destinations that started to be a problem with the collapse of the back in those days, I guess it was U.S. Airways hub. Whenever they left Pittsburgh as a hub, we started to have more and more connecting flights, and it seemed like if you were going 25 miles, you had to have a connecting flight to somewhere. Kind of frustrating, but more nonstop destinations these days. Spirit Airlines started operation. What is it, the end of May? Is that right, Bob?
Yeah, that's right. The Spirit started at the end of May. But before I jump into Spirit for 1 second, I guess I'll just back up. I'll give people a thumbnail sketch. So, yeah, as a lot of people remember, of course, the hub days of U.S. Airways. And we were de-hubbed, of course, back in the early 2000s, around 2003, 2004. Mm-hmm. But as many mid-sized airports across the country since then have also experienced, and they're sort of going through a lot of the same things as Cleveland, Cincinnati, St. Louis, Memphis. If you look at a lot of mid-sized cities our size, they've all gone through the same thing. And that's a result of airline consolidation and pushing people through large gateway airports. But for us, that doesn't mean that the opposite of a hub is not being a hub. It's what we call an origin and destination airport, like Boston, like San Diego, places that have a lot of robust air service, point-to-point, nonstop air service. And so that's what we've been focused on, is rebuilding that nonstop service portfolio. So, you know, we kind of hit the low point in 2014. We had about 37. We had sunk to about 37 nonstop destinations. That means 37 airports, 37 cities that you could fly to nonstop. But in the last 2.5 years since then, we've increased that to 68. So now you can fly to 68 destinations nonstop from Pittsburgh International Airport, and that is over an 80% increase in the last 2.5 years. So we've brought in 8 new carriers during that time also, and Spirit, of course, is the one that you mentioned. They started service May 25th. They came in with, they came in with 7 nonstop destinations, and they've already added 2 more. So they're up to 9 already, and that includes Los Angeles, Dallas-Fort Worth, Houston, Myrtle Beach, Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, Las Vegas, Tampa, and Fort Myers. Now, all those places are already served by other carriers, but it now gives people another option, particularly a low-cost option, to get to some of those places. So Spirit joins both Allegiant and Frontier as low-cost carriers at the airport. I should say ultra-low-cost carriers at the airport. And we are only one of 9 airports in the whole country to have all 3 of those ultra-low-cost carriers, the Spirit, the Frontier, and Allegiant. And, you know, people might be familiar with Spirit. They flew into La Trobe Airport out in Westmoreland County for a number of years, and it was they're going to continue that service. They fly a couple markets out of La Trobe, but we're excited to have them here at Pittsburgh International. People, you know, that might be familiar with ultra-low-cost carriers, they sort of are what we call the cafeteria model. So you have a very low fare for your seat, and then there's a different price for carry-on, there's a different price for check bag, all sorts of those things. So, you know, we encourage people to be very educated when you book on those things, because if you know what you're doing, you can get a great deal. And the airlines don't want to surprise people, you know, with bag fees, or they want people to understand the process, so that way you can customize your trip for, you know, whatever your needs are and get the best deal.
Mm-hmm. And Spirit flies nonstop to L.A., Dallas-Fort Worth, Houston, Myrtle Beach, Fort Lauderdale, Orlando, Las Vegas, Tampa, and Fort Myers. Don't gloss over some of those statistics that Bob Kerlick was giving you. 80% increase in just the past 2.5 years, 8 new carriers added. at Pittsburgh International in just a little more than 2 years. So the increase is not just incremental, folks. It's been really, really terrific. And then there was WOW Airlines, or there is WOW Airlines, and that's one of the even more recent ones. Mid-June, they began a transatlantic service to Iceland, of all places, Bob Curley.
Yeah, and so that's it's really been a busy summer for us because both WOW, and we'll talk about Condor in a second, but WOW Air, they started June 16th nonstop into Reykjavik, Iceland, and their model is they are also a low-cost carrier, but they're a transatlantic carrier, so they're an Icelandic carrier. Big bright purple planes, if you've seen them on the news, we when they had their first inaugural flight, you know, we had a big celebration out here, but their model was you fly to Reykjavik, and they have very tight connections there. So you fly into Reykjavik, and then you can connect into more than 20 points across Europe, including London, Dublin, Cork, Rome, Germany, wherever you need to go. Excuse me. WOW flies to a lot of different places, and they are rock bottom prices compared to a lot of the major carriers. So you can fly a ticket to Europe starting at about $150 each way. So you're looking at $300 round trip. Now, of course, they also have additional fees for bags and things like that. But even when you add in all that stuff, the prices are still very, very low. Now, I will say that a lot of people don't continue on to Europe. They just want to go to Iceland. Iceland is a very hot, sort of tongue-in-cheek, I say hot. By hot, I mean popular, right? Very popular place for Americans to travel to right now. And in fact, to celebrate the inaugural flight, we sent a delegation from our region up there to Reykjavik. We met with the Convention and Visitors Bureau up there, the airport, the airline, of course, and some different business leaders up there that have some connections. Alcoa has a big presence in Iceland. And we came in on the inaugural flight, and part of that was Jack Cohen, who heads up the Butler County Convention and Visitors Bureau there. He was a part of our delegation. He was, and he also, when I talk about Condor in a second, he also attended that trip as well. But the point of that is that we wanted to not only celebrate the flight and generate some media interest, but also building those connections in Iceland, getting people aware, not only people in Pittsburgh to take the flight, but people in Reykjavik to take the flight. So we brought back with us about 20 European journalists from all points in Europe, including Iceland, that took the WOW flight into Pittsburgh, and they spent a couple days, what we call a press tour, where they toured a lot of the sites in and around Western Pennsylvania, and they will go back to their to London and to Dublin and to Frankfurt and to Reykjavik and to write about Pittsburgh. So they loved it a lot. And we had an event at the Warhol Museum on the north side. So it was a very good weekend for us to have that. I will say with WOW, they, you know, WOW is, for lack of a better term, choosy, very selective on what cities they pick. So Pittsburgh was only the seventh market that they selected to serve. So that means that we beat out many, many other cities across the country that were interested in getting that flight. And WOW will be serving us year round. They started with 4 days a week. And they've already bumped it up to 5 for the summertime because the flights have been so well, the ticket sales have been going so well. So we're very excited about the prospects for WOW.
And by the way, first of all, $149 each way for a ticket to Europe. I mean, that's incredible. Number two, don't think you're going out of your way too much, folks, to stop briefly in Reykjavik because flights to Europe they fly the Great Circle route. And even if you're flying nonstop, you come pretty close to Iceland.
You're going past it anyway. That's correct.
Yeah, you're not that far out of the way. We have to take a quick break here, but I want to talk about Condor. It's another direct flight to Europe that Jack Cohen has been very interested in because that means that you can now fly to Germany direct from Pittsburgh. How about that? We'll talk about that in just a moment here with our guest visiting with us for a couple of more minutes yet on the It's Your Turn program today, Bob Curley, is Vice President of Media Relations for the Allegheny County Airport Authority. Folks, one of our sponsors on the program today is the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler. Boy, what great people they have and what great volunteers. Their food bank is terrific, and right now they've started their collection of excess garden produce. If you've got any extra from your garden, or maybe you planted a couple of tomato plants or pepper plants that you were going to donate all of the results from to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. They have a very wonderful program that makes it easy to get your excess produce to their food bank. They have a collection every Saturday morning. You can take your fresh vegetables to St. Michael the Archangel Parish Hall, right behind St. Michael's Church on Center Avenue in Butler. They have St. Vincent de Paul volunteers there Saturday mornings from 8 to noon. They'll take your fresh produce, and it will be in the food bank and being distributed on Monday morning. How about that? Your generous produce donations are greatly appreciated and much loved by the needy families who rely on the Society of St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank. We stand at tallest when we stoop to help others. We'll pick up our conversation with Rob Kerlick here on It's Your Turn on WISR right after these words.
Whether you're a backyard car fixer-upper or an auto repair shop, Milich Auto Wrecking is still the place to go for new and used auto and truck parts. They have been for over 40 years. And compared to factory prices, you'll save big bucks. Milich Auto Wrecking is neatly organized and will tell you immediately if they have the part or not. Open Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5, it's Milich Auto Wrecking, Route 38, the Oneida Valley Road. Look for the big black and red sign. Stop by or call 287-1001. And yes, old Uncle Fred still goes to Milich.
Midday lottery numbers for you today. The pick 2 is 15-1-5. The pick 3 is 739-739. The pick 4 is 8347. And the pick 5, 40105. The wild ball for each is 6. The treasure hunt, 17, 18, 27, 28, and 29. Estimated jackpot for tomorrow's treasure hunt is $10,000.
Moving from my home of 50 years was a little scary, but I wasn't safe at home anymore, and my daughter with her busy life, children and grandchildren, it wasn't fair for me to expect so much from her.
We looked together to find a new home and discovered New Haven Court at Clearview.
What made the difference were the employees and the residents we met. The residents said it was a great place to live.
New Haven Court at Clearview, a great place to live because it's a great place to work. 888-261-5753 or visit IntegraCare.com.
Welcome back, listeners. If you're just joining us, that's fine. Nice to have you with us on the It's Your Turn program here on WISR on this Wednesday. Dave Malarkey is my name. Bob Kerlick, Vice President of Media Relations for the Allegheny County Airport Authority, is visiting with us. And we're so pleased to be able to talk with Bob because there's been much news over the past few months of expanded service out of Pittsburgh International Airport, and it's really amazing when you look at it as a whole. We talked about Spirit Airlines and their service, which began in late May. We talked about WOW. They began in mid-June, transatlantic year-round service to Reykjavik and then on to more than 20 destinations in Europe. What about Condor Airlines? Bob, this is the airlines that flies to Frankfurt, Germany, right?
That's right. So Condor Airlines, excuse me, I'm getting over a cold here a little bit. But Condor Airlines, yes, they began service June 23rd, and they fly Fridays and Mondays for the summertime. So they started June. They're going to be flying through August and I believe into the beginning of September. And their model is that they come in, they start for the summertime, and assuming the ticket sales do well, then when they come back next year, which they've already committed to doing, they expand the shoulders for that season. So we expect to see a longer season that they'll be flying next year. But we know that Germany has been a hugely important market for us in Pittsburgh, not only because of the ancestral ties that we have a lot of German heritage throughout our region in western Pennsylvania, but also because of the current business ties. And we have, we'll say, 11,000 people working for German-owned companies in our region. And then we have another 5,000 German citizens with family in the area. And so, you know, you look at those German companies that you have those connections, just on the way to the airport, if you're coming out the Parkway West, you know, particularly to coming down from Butler County, you know, you'll pass Covestro right there. You have Bayer, mm-hmm. which is right there. Big German presence, Bosch, SAP, Siemens, BASF, Adidas, all these companies have Pittsburgh presence. So when we go out in the community to speak, and with our CEO, she does a lot of speaking engagements, the German-American Chamber of Commerce, the Pittsburgh chapter, has been very vocal, and they, you know, very supportive since we've gotten the flight, but they were very vocal about, you know, hey, we want to make sure we need this nonstop service into Germany, because, you know, we used to have it when U.S. Airways was a hub. You know, we had that service to Frankfurt, and that went away in October 2004. So since October 2004, we really haven't had that Germany nonstop connection until this year. So the flights, the load factors, as we call them in airport lingo, which basically is the percentage of seats that are full of passengers, has been great. The flights have been nearly full so far. And similarly to the way we sent a delegation to Iceland on WOW, we also sent basically the same delegation, a little bit of changes, but same delegation to Frankfurt. And we met with the airport there, we met with the airline, and we actually had an event there in Frankfurt at the Reed Smith, which is a big Pittsburgh law firm. They were nice enough to host a reception for us and invite a lot of Frankfurt business leaders to come in and listen about the transformation of Pittsburgh, and frankly about, you know, encouraging them to take the flight. So Jack Cohen was right there with us.
I was going to say, I hate to sound too parochial about this, but I talked to Jack from the Butler County Tourism and Convention Bureau after he came back from Germany about this flight, and he was very, very interested. He took a bunch of stuff from the Butler County Tourism and Convention Bureau, and the German people there were very interested in just coming to this area to see some of the sites, some of the things we have to offer in Butler County. Very anxious to have this direct flight.
Well, for sure. And not only that, I mean, Jack was promoting not only the leisure connections in Butler County, but also the business connections, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, you have a lot of companies down there in Cranberry area that do a lot of international business, looking to get to Europe. But, yeah, so Jack was definitely right there at the table with us, you know, talking up Moraine State Park and a lot of the sites and, you know, things to see. You know, you go into Pittsburgh, you see a lot of the urban sites, and you get up into Butler County, and you can see a lot of the interesting things that you guys have up there, too.
By the way, so, Frankfurt is, for people who aren't familiar with it, it is like a major hub in Europe. First of all, it's right in the center of Europe to begin with, and there are a million connecting flights in and out of Frankfurt.
That's correct, and that's part of the beauty of this flight. So you fly in on Condor. Condor has a relationship with Lufthansa in Germany, and Lufthansa flies almost anywhere in the world. So you fly into, if you're not going to Frankfurt, you fly into Frankfurt on Condor, and which, by the way, have very, very competitive rates as well. They're much cheaper than many of the legacy carriers. You can get a seat in their business class for about the same price as you can get for a seat and coach for some of the legacy carriers. But you fly into Frankfurt and you can connect anywhere in the world, whether you're going somewhere else in Germany or whether you're going you know, somewhere else. So Frankfurt is a major, major destination. And in fact, when we were there at the airport, they have their departures board, right? And it's huge. It's, you know, it's I don't know, 30 feet tall, right, with cities all over the world. And so it was great to be able to see to have them unveil Pittsburgh is a destination among all the other cities of the world that Frankfurt's flying to. So we were that was kind of neat to see that. The plane that one note, the plane that you're flying on that Condor flies is a Boeing 767, and it's a wide body aircraft, which if you're familiar with aircraft, when you get on the plane that has two aisles, right? You go in, you go down, that has a couple seats on the right, and then you have the seats in the center, and then an aisle, and then you have the other one. So it's a wide body. That means that it also carries cargo, which is also music to the ears of some of the businesses, too, that want to get some cargo on the plane, palletized cargo over to Europe. So yes, there's a lot of benefits for that, and we look forward to Condor expanding that season even more next year.
Have you had to ramp up the customs operation at Pittsburgh International because of all these new direct flights?
We have, and so you have – so this is – so if you're thinking about it, so we have WOW coming in from Reykjavik. You have Condor coming in from Germany. We still have the nonstop service into Paris on Delta for the summer. They fly that May through September. So during the summertime, it gets pretty busy down in customs. But what we were able to do is we worked very closely with customs. They actually added some temporary officers for the summertime and to ensure that you are not waiting a long time when you come into customs at Pittsburgh International. And you mentioned going through JFK, and we, you know, no one likes to connect, and we understand that, and particularly connecting through some of those large airports like JFK or, you know, Philadelphia or some places like that. When you come in, you stand in line in customs for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
You will not experience that at Pitt. We've worked very hard to make sure that hit the lines, you'll move very quickly. We've added different kiosks. If you have global entry, which we encourage people to get, you can get global entry and TSA pre-check together. If you people that are familiar with that, if you do a lot of traveling, it's definitely worth it. You skip the line altogether. In fact, just go to a kiosk, type in some information, and you're on your way. You don't even see an officer till you're leaving. But yeah, it's the customs experience. We've worked to move people through there very, very quickly.
Now, if you think all of this is pretty fantastical, and it is, that's not all, as they say in the info commercials. there's still more. Would you believe direct flights from Pittsburgh to China? Really? Really, Bob Curling?
But wait, there's more. So, yeah, so we're working with a tourism company in China, and they're called Kaisa Touristic. And we did send some people over there to meet with their folks. And basically what we're working on is that what we're securing is to have some nonstop charter flights from somewhere in China, probably Tianjin or Shanghai or Beijing or something along those lines, and bringing a lot of Chinese tourists into the United States. So, you know, China has a very large population, obviously, and they have an increasing middle class with some disposable income, and they're looking to travel. Sometimes they've been to Europe or they're not interested in going to Europe. Many of them are interested in coming to the U.S. And a lot of these people, they've already been to New York. They may have been to D.C. They may have been to San Francisco. So then they want to come out and see what we've been pitching is, you know, authentic American, real Americana, and, you know, why not Pittsburgh? So, you know, they're interested. They came out. They sent some folks here. We took them around Pittsburgh as far as their reps to show them what their tourists would be seeing. And, you know, we took them up on Mount Washington. We did all the great sights and sounds of Western PA. And they were very interested. They signed a memorandum of understanding with us, meaning that we're continuing to work towards that. So we were hoping to have the flights this year. It looks like we may end up pushing them a little bit until next spring, perhaps. But whenever that is, whether it's this year or next year, we're going to be having some charter flights of Chinese tourists that will be coming into our area. And the point of that is not only to bring in a lot of that Chinese investment, but, of course, people that are that want to buy tickets on the return flight, those will be for sale too. Mm-hmm. And so once you start with a couple charter flights, they come in, and you build that up next year, and you build that up next year, and eventually you have scheduled service, between Pittsburgh and somewhere in China, which would be huge because it's a very that's an increasing market for everywhere in the world. So we want to make sure that we're the first airport in North America to have a charter agreement with this company. Other airports in Europe have tried this to create success. So we want to make sure we're at the front of the line in working with these guys. So we're excited about that, and we look forward to when they get here.
Pretty amazing. And by the way, in case people are wondering, yes, with the Great Circle route, there are planes that can fly from Pittsburgh to China, right, Bob?
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. Absolutely. Yep. Yep.
So you don't have to worry about being refueled in flight.
No. Absolutely. And with aircraft technology, you know, you can fly. The range of aircraft continues to get longer and longer. So, and that's part of it too. It's not just that we're competing with Cleveland or Cincinnati. So let's take London for an instance. London, of course, is an important market for us, and you can connect there through WOW and other legacy carriers. But, of course, we continue to work for a nonstop service into the UK or Ireland. But, now I'm losing my train of thought here. But
Well, it's something that you're always working on. For example, I know one of the things that you're hard at work on is more direct flights to the West Coast, particularly San Francisco Bay Area.
Yes, and we know the West Coast continues to be a need for the airport. So right now we fly into San Francisco. United flies there once a day. You can fly into LAX, Los Angeles, Southwest, and Spirit both fly there daily. But we also know that there needs to be more. So we are looking for increased service into the Bay Area. We'd like to see more service into the San Francisco area. Seattle continues to be an important target market for us. So we're continuing to talk to some carriers. There's some carriers out there that aren't yet flying into Pittsburgh that we would love to see, but there's also some carriers that are already here that we would love to see add those markets as well. So Southwest, for instance, they continue to grow very much in Pittsburgh. They actually have overtaken American as carrying the most passengers at Pitt. So Southwest now is carrying 29% of the passengers. American, the merged U.S. Airways American, now carries about 28% of the passengers. So, and Southwest continues to expand. So we're working with them. We'd love to see them add some points. But, there's also some other carriers out there that could be potential, too.
Bob Kerlick, exciting news. Boy, thanks for giving us time to chat about this. This is wonderful stuff, and it gives us even more stuff to look forward to as well.
Oh, for sure, yes. And my point on the U.K., now that I'm thinking about it, when you're looking at that point on the U.K., if you put a pinpoint in London,